praise and worship team this morning. And by the way, we have a stranger amongst us this morning. Got a purple shirt on back here. Cliff, we're glad you're back.
Yes.
Did you kind of skip in here this morning? Sort of. For those who don't know, he's just undergone a knee replacement. And you know, it takes some time for healing. And so, you know what? He's still been serving his God. He's still been worshiping his God. He's still been studying the Word of God. We haven't had him here with us for a little bit, but we're sure glad you're here this morning. And we welcome everybody here that aren't usually in this place, and all of us who yes. usually are.
Yes, amen.
I want to say this to you. I've had God talk to me about how we experience more of his presence. I began to see it months ago, but not the fullness of it. Recently, my God has continued to give me revelation about how that we enter into that we all desire. And it's so simple. Yet it's something that has to be caught by the Spirit, not something we can catch with the old brain waves here. It has to be caught by the Spirit of the living God. I want you to hear this morning because it's so simple. He said to me, when my people return to the fear of me, you will have my presence in its fullness. Wow. That simple, Lord? Yes, but then he said, you find fear of me, holiness, by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And so I want to speak some of that to you this morning and take you to some scriptures so that the Lord can bring for you and bring you to the place that you want to be in his presence all the time. His presence is so good.
Yes.
Think about the times that we've had where we've touched it. Think about the times that you've had personally in your own lives, in your prayer lives, in your walk with God, when you felt like you came into a place of his presence, but you knew there was more. We always know there's more. More, 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 more. So my heart this morning is for us to find that place in the fear of the Lord. Now, you know, if you have been taught along the way, if you went to Bible college, if you found some books, if you began to study the fear of the Lord, and you caught it here, you're not able yet to practice it. And I'll show you that by the Word. It is something that is caught by the Spirit. I remember being taught as a young Christian that the fear of the Lord is simply reverence. And I want to say to you that it's a whole lot more than that.
Sure.
It's big, 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 big. But God insists on it. So it's if we're just catching it here and we think, well, I know all about that. That's what that is. It's reverence and it's this and it's this. What we really need to do is say, okay, God, I need the fear of the Lord impressed in my spirit. I need to know you by the fear of the Lord. You know what? In this time in our church, in this time in each of our lives, young people in particular, they have found that anything that looks like a rule or a must-do, they don't like. And I have to admit that along the way, I've not liked a whole lot of rules either. And And yet, God's got some rules, some outlines for us, some places that He wants us to go so that we can have all of Him.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, this one, when He says, if you want to connect to Me, if you want the desired presence of Me, you're going to have to do it My way. Can you receive that this morning? He's got a way for us to enter into His presence, and it's probably not the way we think. In other words, let me just put it this way. I've been to lots of conferences. I've had times where I've been taught that if you just praised Him just the right way, if you just had the best praise and worship team, if everybody just sang the right way and sang the right songs and all of that, that's where the presence of God is. There's a degree of that. I won't deny that God gave us anointed praisers and worshipers to take us into a degree of His presence. If we read the Word and study the Word, we see that He even sent praise teams ahead of His armies, ahead of the troops, so that His presence would go with them. There's nothing wrong with all of that. There's just more. And if we can receive some of that this morning, if we can, in this day and in this hour, understand that He's got a way of doing things, even for His presence. Don't you love His presence? That which you've experienced already? Can you imagine a place in the Lord where we come to know His presence so big? One day, I was coming in here to this, our worship center right now, until we're finished upstairs. And I noticed that everybody was talking and having a good time. It was pre-service, you know. And you know how people come there's some camaraderie and there's some good things going on and there's some laughter and discussions and all of that. I thought, well, where's God's presence in this? It doesn't seem like there's much presence in all of this. It just kind of seems like a gathering of the faithful flesh. And I thought, Lord, someplace here, there needs to be a bigger presence, even pre-service. I remembered back to a time when I entered an old church. I was asked to preach in this little town, and I entered an old church there. I mean, it was old enough that it had a kind of a pot heater stove in it that they had to, in order to warm the place up, those went ahead and started a fire in the stove and all of that. And so it was a church building from long ago. But when I opened the door to come in, I knew nobody there. I didn't even know who I was supposed to see when I got in the door. So I just came walking in the door and looking for somebody that would tell me what they wanted me to do that day and how to do it. And so as I looked around, I sensed the presence of God in that place. It was so big. It was awesome. And I recognized that somehow in that place, there was a reverence for God when people walked through the door. And it was so big to me, it hit me like a ton of bricks. You know, it was like, wow, I walked through that door and something happened. Something took me into a place of His presence. Well, up until that time, this is years ago, but up until that time, I had not sensed His presence like I did that day in any building. Yet it was there. the people were still having some fellowship, and there was some conversation going on. But I remember this about it too, that when the pastor or whoever was leading that day, I can't remember now, walked to the pulpit, the conversation immediately came to a halt. And there was a people ready to find a greater presence of Almighty God. I've seen it since, many times. I want it for us here. My desire is that we find that greater presence. Isn't it yours? In any event, God began to speak to me as I asked him, Lord, we need more of you. He would talk to me about the fear of the Lord. And I'd think, well, we respect you, Lord. We reverence you. We know who you are. When I said that to him, we know who you are, I had this understanding in my heart. You know how God will sometimes speak to you and just all of a sudden there's something else, there's something bigger he's trying to show you. And I had this understanding that we too had a head knowledge of who and how big he is. But there was a revelation needed of just how big he is. You know, we know he is the creator of all. We know there's not anything about you and I that hasn't got his touch on it. Did he not create man? Have you ever thought about recently about all the things the Bible says that his hand, that are in his hand? Have we thought about how big his heart is toward us? Have we thought about the size, the bigness of his love? Sometimes when we're praising him, words come out of our heart. We begin to lift an idea, a reverence, a thought, a heart towards how big he is. We begin to speak it. As a general rule, we have this sense, well, we've been taught, we know, we've read in the Word how big our God is, but he's even bigger than we think. I don't know if our minds can contain how big he is. In any event, the bigness of God connects to the fear of the Lord. Then I want to stop for a minute before we get into the Word and say this to you. The fear of the Lord and the spirit of fear are absolutely different things. There's no connection between the two at all. So when God says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, that did not cancel that he commands and demands from us the fear of the Lord. The two are different. The fear of the Lord, that fear is holy. And holiness connects to the fear of the Lord. In any event, let's go to the Word for a few moments. Thank you, Jesus. So let's start in Isaiah. And Isaiah 33. verse 6, and I'd like you to put it up on the screens in the New King James Bible, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation this morning. Say, why would you confuse us and put two? I'd like you to be able to see, or at least hear one and see the other here this morning. Let's start with verse 5. Though the Lord is very great and lives in heaven, he'll make Jerusalem his home of justice and righteousness. In that day, he will be your sure foundation, providing a rich store of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord will be your treasure. The fear of the Lord will be your treasure. Now, New King James on the screen, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. I want to say it a little bit differently, and I pulled this from Matthew Henry's commentary about this. And this is what he said, the fear of the Lord is the key. Is the key. I like that as well. The fear of the Lord will be your treasure. And so the fear of the Lord, along with the love of God, it composes the very foundation of your life. This reverence, this fear of the Lord connects to every promise of God. We'll show you that by the scripture in just a few moments. In other words, fear of the Lord is not just I need to have respect for God. No, it's bigger than that. It's the key to everything. I want you to begin to picture that when God said in Leviticus that he commanded the fear of the Lord upon us, he commanded us to enter into, to have, to operate in the fear of the Lord because he wants us to have all of his blessings. And they're connected. It's not a disconnect. It's not just an old rule. You'll need to have the fear of the Lord. It's way bigger than that. It's so much bigger than that. So some of us would think, oh, well, yeah, he just wants us to respect him. You know, it's no big deal. But not realizing that it is the key to entering the fullness of God. It's the key to entering the fullness of his presence. It's the key to answered promises. It's the key. Let's connect a bit more. Let's go to Isaiah 11 and verses 1 and 2. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. See what he's connecting? It doesn't say out of the fear of the Lord. It says and the fear of the Lord. Let's look at it again in the New King James Version, please. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. What comes out of God toward us? What comes out of the Lord toward us? What's resting on the Lord? As this version says, spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. We can have the spirit of wisdom, can't we? We can have understanding. We can have the spirit of knowledge, and we can also have the fear of the Lord. It's not something that you particularly have to work up. It's something you catch, if you like, by the Spirit. It's a big deal. Now I want to connect a few dots for you. Let's go to Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah 29. Let's go to the promise, the plan of God that he talks about towards us. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. If you'd put it up on the screen, we'll just use that version at this moment. 11 to 14. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let's continue. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I'll be found by you, says the Lord, and I'll bring you back from your captivity. I'll gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. That's good. He has an awesome plan toward us. And for years, many of us have said, and give mental assent and even faith toward that plan. What an awesome plan it is. It's a plan for our good. It's not a plan for evil. It's a plan for... All he has is good toward us. Did you realize that? And so consider this now. He's got this wonderful plan for us, but it's connected to the fear of the Lord. It's connected, therefore, to his presence. Does the Bible actually say that? Yes, it does. And we'll get there. Okay. The fear of the Lord. I need to find by the Spirit this fear of the Lord. Not something, again, I'm saying it because it's necessary for us to hear it. Not something we find by head knowledge, but something that comes to us by presence, by time spent with Almighty God. It's a spirit thing. Today's generation, maybe even my generation, we didn't like all the musts. But I'm bringing to you a must today. I'm bringing to you a process by the Spirit that we must get into in order to let that plan work through us, in order that the very goodness of God that he speaks about, his plan for us, can be, if you like, captivated. I want what God wants. Do you? I want his plan. I want his blessings. I want it all. You know, good things happen when we're in the presence of God, don't you? What does the Bible say happens when we're in the presence of God? Somebody help me. Fullness of joy. Whoa, this is a tough world that we live in, right? And not too many people walk around with full of joy. In fact, the reverse is probably true. But oh boy, when we really know the presence of God, there's a certain fullness of joy that comes our way. I want that. I want it all. Let's go to the Word some more. Let's go to Isaiah 32 and verse 40. I should have said Jeremiah, shouldn't I? Hear God. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good for them. I will put a desire in their hearts to worship me. And they will never leave me. And I'll find joy doing good for them and will faithfully and wholeheartedly replant them in this land. What I wanted you to see from this scripture this morning, more than anything else, that he put a desire in our hearts to worship him. He's put that there. It's not something we have to work up. We have a desire already put on the inside of us in our spirit man by Almighty God. And he says, they'll never leave me. And he says in the middle of all of that, he'll find joy in doing good for us. He's an awesome God, isn't he? Yeah. Let's go to Isaiah. No, I want to go back to Isaiah 33 first. I want you to see verse 6 again. Consider what we've said and what we've already looked at. The fear of the Lord will be your treasure. The fear of the Lord will be your treasure. Well, this says the fear of the Lord is his treasure. The versions, all the different versions, are divided between the two lines of thought. But then if it's God's treasure, won't it be yours? The treasure in this whole thing is to God, but the treasure is to us too, the fear of the Lord. So let's pick that up. Keep that thought in mind and continue in the Word. There are some things here that we need to see. Let's go back to Isaiah 11 again, please. They say to never bring a newer Bible into the pulpit. But I did it anyway. But sometimes the pages stick together. And pick this up again. We've already been here, but just a moment so that we can move on. What he wants us to have is the spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. It's necessary for us to continue on. Let's go to Romans, over in the New Testament now for a minute. Chapter 1. We've got it on the board anyway. The Spirit of the Lord, chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Let's continue, verse 21, 23. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Keep going. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. One more. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. A little more. And exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. A lot of words that should make us consider some things. The most important part is that what we tend to do is to level the things of God with what we know from the world, with our sense knowledge. Here we have a situation where, well, let me take it this way. If we hear from Leviticus in chapter 10 that God wants us to operate in the fear of the Lord, and we say, we know what that's all about. That's just reverence. That's just a little respect from us toward God. And don't operate in the spirit of the living God toward God with our fear of the Lord. What we've done is leveled a concept, leveled what God wants for us, and brought it to nothing. As far as God's concerned, it is just us and our thought process. It's not us operating by the Spirit in the fear of the Lord. Have you ever thought that the fear of the Lord might be much bigger than just reverence? Have you ever thought that somehow that fear of the Lord is the key connection between all the blessings of God and us? Sometimes we think of God as just a divine benefactor. A God that supplies all the good things that we want. That just kind of, whoa, prosperity, yep, that's what our God does. He's a divine benefactor. He's got all these things for us, and we just get them because we're Christians. We just get them because we believe. We just get them because we have faith. We just get them because we speak the word. But the first thing that he told us was that he desired, in fact, he said it in a commanding kind of way, I want you to have the fear of the Lord. Well, you know, along the way, there have been lots of things that I read in the Word of God. There have been lots of things that you've read in the Word of God. There have been lots of things that you've seen as commandments in the Word of God that you or I have thought, well, I know that's a commandment, and I'll get to that, but I'm not ready to handle that yet. Have you ever thought things like that? Well, you're really unique then. Because there are lots of things that we read, that we've been taught along the way, that we're somehow don't operate in. Yet, we do not see in the Word of God commandments about all those things that are first. The first commandment in Leviticus is, I want you to have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord being captivated in our spirit, man, well, what it does is open the door to all of the blessings of God. The Bible says this. It says that you're not in need when you operate in the fear of the Lord. You're not without. You're not without prosperity. You're not without healing when the fear of the Lord is yours, when it's operated by the Spirit of the Lord. Hear him then. He doesn't say that about anything else. He doesn't say you're not in need when you confess it. He doesn't say you're not in need when you have faith for it. The connection is the fear of the Lord. My people are not in need when they have, when they do, when they operate, when they have the fear of the Lord. It's the only time in the Bible that he says they have no need. That's the connection. That's the key. The fear of the Lord. So what does that look like anyway? What does the fear of the Lord really look like? What does it feel like? How do we access it? Those are questions I've asked me. What do I know? Am I back into just my head knowledge of this thing? How does this flow for me? If it's that important to you, Lord, how do I get into the fear of the Lord? You know, I realized I didn't know. I just thought I had it. Since I know what it is and I respect you, Lord, I reverence you. My goodness, I have seen your greatness. I know how to praise you. I know how to worship you. But this key, this fear of the Lord, how do I operate in it? God, show me how. I want to take you there, but this needs to have a second shot at it. Can we do a second shot at this? This is so important to us, this fear of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to look at some of the scriptures again this week and be prepared for it, but hear me. Let's go to, before we quit, let's go to Psalms 89. There is a way. There's a way to touch this thing. There's a way to have it existing in your life. It's about, though, considering his greatness. It's about not leveling him to what we think, but to what his word says. It's about considering him as the huge God that he is. And it's about living that. And we'll see some more the next time we're together. Let's look at the scripture that I asked for a minute ago. Did I do something wrong? Oh, Psalms 89, 6 and 7. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. Sometimes in our want to not be ordered, sometimes in what's on the inside of us to not have order and somebody telling me what to do and all of that, sometimes we level the things of the Lord. God's greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. It's talking about the fear of the Lord, isn't it? Well, he demands it, he commands it. But it's all about our blessing. It's all about what he wants for us. It's all about that good plan of his. We just need to find in our assembly, in our personal walk, in who we are, that place of finding him awesome. He wants to be known for who he is. He wants to be known as the Creator. He wants to be known for how big he is. It's a secret. Amongst reasoning people. But it's known by those who will find him for who he is and reverence that day in and day out. It's the key. Along with his love. I love you this morning. I'm thankful that we, and God assures my heart, that we're coming into a place a place of His presence like we've not known before. It's not somewhere way off in the future. There are many that are praying, looking for and crying out to God for more of Him. We'll have it. It's a promise. We'll look the next time together at how many know that He says in His Bible that He withholds His glory for some reasons. How many equate His glory with His presence? We're going to look at that together and then connect with the key. You want to be here for that. Is Steve here? Where is he? Steve, I need you to come right now. As Steve comes, what I want you to know is that we as elders, we ask Steve and Wayne, elders, to step in and lift some of the load that I was carrying and to undertake, if you like, the leadership of...